been on the run since 6:45.
Welcome to These Are Good Days with Lee Ann Miller.
And Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, I brought your family some homemade granola bars because I do believe they are the best that I have ever made.
Whatever. You say that every single time you make something.
Well
every time you make something, you're like, I think these are the best ones. We'll never have these again. I hope you enjoy it because I don't know the recipe.
These are so good.
Well,
they're
I can't wait.
I started out with a stick of butter, so how can you go wrong?
You know what I think's a funny thing maybe people don't know about you? Is like exclusive behind the influencer information.
Whatever.
You are a home cook that has grown up in the kitchen that just can throw stuff together. And sometimes you'll show yourself making stuff and people are like, recipe, yeah. Please, recipe, where's the recipe?
I don't have one.
And sometimes you're like, no, I'm sorry, there is not one.
There is not a recipe.
You can watch, you can write down what you see in my stories, but I do not have a typed out recipe for you.
There's no recipe. I'm a scratch cook.
Well, and you know, when I lived in your home as a young man,
it was fun.
You would be like, we're never eating this again. We're never eating this again. Enjoy it. Because we'll never have this again.
It's true. Every time I make macaroni and cheese, listen, macaroni and cheese right now, homemade macaroni and cheese right now has a chokehold on me. I don't know
why.
That's
too bad.
It's just.
That sounds like you need some deliverance.
I need deliverance prayer. It's just in the winter. It's just this cozy,
but girl, listen,
comfort food.
It's 75 degrees today. It's time to shed some pounds. We're eating greens.
We're getting rid of the hookah.
We're delivering you from mac and cheese and that pesky, wheezy cough.
Listen, the mac and cheese, I don't do it the same. Literally, I don't think I've ever done the recipe the same twice. Yeah. It's just always different.
That's what makes life fun.
Yes. Yes.
Totally. Hey, tell us your good day.
Well, you know what, Matt? You go first.
Okay. My good day was this past weekend. We had, you know what is one of the most, oh man, I love this. This is one of the best feelings, I think, in the whole world.
Okay.
Is when you have a really busy schedule and you go, we're not doing one of those things. We did it this weekend.
Oh,
it was so good.
We
looked at our weekend and we had a busy weekend all around.
Well, baseball.
Well, take me out to the ball game.
Like, baseball's taking
over
the Bears.
And Cracker Jacks. So we had baseball on Saturday. We had a baseball game for our kids on Saturday. Like, they could go to the older kids game, get a free hot dog, and like cheer them on. And it was so cold. And we were like, guys, what if we skip this and have a family day? And they went for it.
They did.
They went
I
for
love
it.
When that happens too.
So we went to Red
like,
Robin
like, yes.
in Canton, mm-hmm. and we Red Robin. Yum.
Oh,
remember
so,
that?
So, yes, I love
we went
it.
There,
bottomless
we
fries.
To,
do they still do bottomless?
They still do.
I love that.
And we saw a movie. It was great.
Red Robin.
If you are listening. Red Robin, yum.
Yum.
Yum. Yum is what I say.
It is yum.
So I think that feeling, there's probably a name for it. Mm. That feeling of when you have something on your calendar and you're like, we're not doing it. And it just feels so good.
It feels good. It feels almost sneaky.
I know, it does.
Okay. I'm not going to say it's a good day. I'm going to say these are good moments.
Sure.
And I'm loving it so much and appreciating it so much that I'm probably wearing Daryl out saying it over and over again.
Well, he's probably texted me about it.
So probably not. So Daryl has not worked since the week of his surgery on Valentine's Day. And for Daryl, that is...
It's a very long time. We're pushing
two months now. I mean, really, it's just been... It's been hard in some ways, and it's just been the most wonderful, lovely thing in other ways. And so he needed to start his cardiac rehab to just, you know, at cardiac rehab, in case you don't know this.
I don't know.
In cardiac rehab, you go to cardiac rehab after open heart surgery, about a month or so after open heart surgery. And at cardiac rehab, you get your vitals. Oh, Charlie's barking. It's okay. So you get your vitals taken, like your blood pressure, they hook you up to, I don't know, I want to call it a machine, but they hook you up that when you're walking on the treadmill, things are being monitored. And really what is happening is they're tracking how you're doing, how you've recovered, how your heart is sounding, how it's beating. They take your blood pressure right when you get there. Then they take your blood pressure after you've walked on the treadmill for 20 minutes or so.
Do they put like those sticky things all over you?
Yeah. So they're monitoring.
Yeah.
Then what happens is they say, okay, Daryl, you're ready to go back to work. It's just, we don't want you doing XYZ or we don't want you lifting more than 30 pounds or whatever. And it really kind of gives you this backup confidence of, yes, I'm ready to go back to work and do a full day's work or whatever. Now, he's not yet going back to work and doing a full day's work. So my good days are made up of little pockets of this. I am getting some things done at my house. For instance, my dryer was a brand new dryer when we moved in the farmhouse, and I could not understand why it takes so long for my clothes to dry. Well, Daryl pulled the machines out. He discovered something with the way it was hooked up. Hmm. He blew all the ducts and all that stuff out. And I literally hit the button the other day for 54 minutes and everything was dry at the end of that 54 minutes.
Well, Daryl,
I didn't have to hit it twice.
Yeah.
And it's just little things that I've just done. You know, you just kind of get used to.
Sure. The quirky quirks.
Yes. And there's things just getting done at my house. I know. It's amazing. You know what?
When he is done, you can send him my way when he is bored.
Well, when he is done, he's probably going to go back to work.
Wow.
Because the man can't, I mean, I can bring home some bacon, Matt, but I just can't bring home the whole hog.
That's true.
He's got to get back to the work.
That's true.
So, yeah, so that's been a really special, really great thing.
Yeah,
is
that's
just
great.
Him doing some things that have just needed done. He was fixing some siding outside at our house.
It's like a side effect of what's been going on in your life. Which is great.
Yeah.
Like, it's been some sad, hard parts, but this is like such a nice little kindness.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's great.
And he can just do anything. So it's just so nice. But it's
Mallory,
nice.
I'm sorry.
But it's nice that he's doing it at home.
Sure. That's great.
You know, it's great that he's done them at the renovations and things like that. But these little things that have needed done, he's getting done. And it's just,
that's just awesome.
So good.
That's great. Hey, before we jump into our topic today, we have a little segment.
Yes.
So I'm going to add some music. Let's pause for music. Ta-da!
Okay, this is something random I need to share that might not make a difference to you at all. Yeah. What is that something random you want to share, Matt, that might not make a difference to me or anyone else at all?
Yeah, you might not care about this, but I do. It's what I've been thinking about. You know, I have a topic, and my topic is rock stars tonight. And there's two facts I want to share with you.
Okay.
The first one is David Bowie. Are you familiar with him?
I love David Bowie.
There's a fun fact about David Bowie. David Bowie has a son. Mm-hmm. And his son graduated from college.
Yeah.
And he went to the College of Worcester. So David Bowie's son spent like 4 years, I'm assuming he spent 4 years here in Worcester in our hometown.
Yep.
And David, there's pictures of David Bowie at graduation that people have, which I think is such a fun fact.
And I heard at graduation, he was just very unassuming. He just
kind of
stood off to the side and some people didn't even realize who he was.
Yeah.
And I love that instead of making this like big deal and grand entrance.
Here's my second one. We're talking Hall & Oates. And if you know Hall & Oates.
Oh, you make my dreams. That's one of my favorite songs.
You make my dreams come true. You have Sarah Smile.
Yeah.
You have You're a Rich Girl. Ooh, and you're gone too far. Because you know it don't matter anyway. And you have I Can't Go For That. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Making my dreams come true is the best.
Hall & Oates. Here's the funny thing about Hall & Oates. Hall & Oates were roommates. And they...
In college?
I think after college when they were trying to be musicians.
Okay.
Hall & Oates were roommates. They got the name Hall & Oates. The nickname Hall & Oates was from their mailbox where the mailman called it Hall and Oates, that, who lived there by their last name. Here's the fun fact about that. None of their albums say Hall and Oates. That's not what they call themselves. They call themselves Daryl Hall and John Oates.
Oh.
Isn't that funny?
Mm-hmm.
We have called them Hall and Oates.
Yeah, we shortened
but
it.
But they never label themselves as that. And I think that's fascinating. Here's the other fun fact. Your favorite song, You Make My Dreams Come True, is a huge, huge song for movies. What I read is one of the biggest, most used songs in movies and television. It's been in The Office. There's a whole list, but it is a very popular song to use in movies.
Doesn't Those surprise are my me at all. Facts. It's a great song. If you want a little pick me up, play that song.
Yeah.
It's a
and
great
you know song. What? That might not matter to anybody else, but I love a good hyperfixation.
Yeah. Something random that, you know, we just want to share that might not make a difference to you at all. Here's mine. Those granola bars I made.
Yeah.
Do you know what I did? I cleaned out the cupboard. And do you know what I put in them? I had some pitted dates and some pitted prunes. I popped them in the food processor and I pulsed those babies until it wasn't a paste, but until they were in small little pieces.
Sure.
And put those in the granola bars. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, it has added such an incredible texture and
Is
even
it like
some moisture.
Fiber?
It's just so good.
Is it good for your bowels?
Yeah, prunes are.
Yeah,
I don't know about dates. I would think dates are too, but not like prunes. Prunes, yeah. I think
prunes
are a little
a
more
big
potent.
Thing. Yeah, prunes is a big thing for the oldies.
The other thing that is random that might not make a difference to you at all, but it might, is if you have a fireplace or a wood burner, there's a place called Herb Stove in Berlin, Ohio, in Amish country. Herbs. If you are listening, and they make these things called, we call them eco bricks, but they're these bricks. They're shaped like a brick, but they're compressed sawdust.
Yeah.
So they compress the sawdust down really tight into a brick, and it burns great. It burns clean. It actually burns so much cleaner than firewood, and we get a pallet of them at a time, and it lasts us almost all winter, and it's just it's a great little thing.
Love it.
Who knew that sawdust could be compressed down into a brick?
I didn't.
Yeah, there it
I
is.
I didn't know. Hey, today we're talking kindness.
Yes.
We are starting a series about kindness where we really want to, I think part of it was born out of what we talked about last week with Chelsea randomly sending you the clothes and also just these
sweatshirts.
These is hard times. These is hard times.
Yeah, the kindness that was shown to me right around Daryl's surgery.
Sure.
I know we mentioned it briefly in another podcast that my girlfriends from Virginia sent $200 for MG to buy coffee and lunch. And then Ashley Sutton from Haircut Box sent you $100 to get snacks and all that mattered. It really did matter. I ate off of those snacks and I used that coffee money almost the whole time I was at the hospital.
Yeah, no doubt.
So it just was really just so kind.
Yeah. You also reached out to your Instagram community, the Joy Scouts, and you asked them what are some of their best stories of kindness. Yeah. And today, if you're like, kindness, I get it. We are talking about expected kindness. So what we're going to talk about today is what you would expect us to talk about.
Yeah.
But we do have some,
it's
predictable, but we do have some tricks up our sleeve for the future. So sit tight if you're like kindness. Okay. But we do want to talk about some ways to show kindness and why it matters.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I found is why kindness matters. There's some big reasons why kindness really matters. And you know, you can read a lot about this. And I pulled out some things that I just want to highlight about why kindness matters to me, and maybe something you haven't really thought before. The first one is that kindness strengthens your social connections with other people. Mm. It kind of reminds me of, remember when we talked about the AirPod thing, people walking around with AirPods, and just the little connections that you make when you don't have a device in your face or AirPods in your ears. It's very similar. When we have random acts of kindness, it strengthens social connections with people that we know, maybe acquaintances, or even people that we don't know or just our community. And so I think that's an important part of this is because when we show kindness to people, it strengthens those connections, whether it's a friend or a family member or someone in your community, someone you work with. It makes those bonds stronger. I think the other thing is that I want to highlight is that it really, this sounds kind of silly, but when you show kindness to others and you do things for them, or you assist them, or you just acknowledge them in some way, it actually boosts your self-esteem. You get like little blips in your brain and in your heart that go, oh man, that was really good. And it felt really good to do that. You know, the old adage is it's better to give than receive. And in some regard, that's true.
Oh,
because I think sometimes it does feel better to do something for someone else than it does to get something.
Well, I feel like when you are generous or when you do acts of service or you do things for other people, I think it does something to your heart that nothing else can. I think it's supernatural.
I know you're going to share some stories, but I thought of some random acts of kindness that have happened to me recently. Actually, the one that I want to talk about isn't actually that recent. It's maybe a year or two old, but it sticks out in my mind because it was an unexpected person. So for work, not often, but periodically I go to meetings that are far away. So I was meeting people up in Akron, which is like a 45-minute drive from here. And I drove myself because of circumstances, and other people drove themselves. And we met somewhere, and when we came out of the place where we were, I had a flat tire. And listen, I don't love doing things like that. It's not easy for me. Can I do it? Sure. Is it my favorite thing to do? No. And so
you could do it. You would do the musical about the guy coming out of the restaurant,
sure,
out of the meeting, sure, that came out of the meeting. That's to a right. flat tire.
And like, I'll entertain you, yes, while we change the tires. I'll talk to you. I'll ask you how you feel about it. So we walked out of our meeting and I was like, well, I'll just call AAA because we pay for AAA. And you know, the person that stuck out to me that was like, no, I'm just going to do it. Let's do it. We're going to just do it together. It'll get you on the road faster. And it was my superintendent. So it's like the boss of my school district. And he is like 6'5". Basketball player, like he played in Europe after college.
He's exactly who you'd expect to be like, we're going to change his tire.
Well, you know, it was one of the kindest things because it was an unexpected person. He was in a suit. He got down on the ground and we changed it together and he led the charge.
And let me just tell you, there is
remember stuff like that.
There is a component for friendship and for just a bond between two people when there's kindness exchanged. I also think, and I've been thinking a lot about this since I've had so many kind things done to me recently. I think that kindness can be fake. Can it be fake?
Sure.
Sure, it can be fake. But real kindness, true blue kindness, has to be holding hands with and associated with love. Mm-hmm. I don't think that love and kindness are independent of one another. I think if you are a person that is trying to love people, you are also being kind.
Totally.
Now,
does it matter to you if kindness is fake or genuine?
Well, if I don't know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But if I know, yeah.
But if you don't know, does it matter?
Well, it probably matters more to the person exercising the kindness.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
To the person that's doing it in fakeness. Like, yeah. So sad. Too bad. So sad. Yeah. You're not getting that boost. You're just fake.
Watch out.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know.
What are they watching for?
That just seems sacrilegious to exercise kindness with fakeness.
If our friend Kat, Counselor Kat, was here, she would be like, there's something going on there.
Yeah, yeah. She'd tell us what it was. She'd tell us what the underlying.
It's in the DSM-7 somewhere.
Okay, listen, here's a great story of kindness. Now, I want to mention this before I mention these stories, that I got so many stories of people going back 20 years, 15 years, 30 years.
Yeah.
So, somebody said this happened in 1999. Wow. I mean, I had to do the math. I'm like, that's a long time ago.
Let's show kindness like it's 1999.
Okay, here's one. One of the biggest, most random act of kindness was for our son Joey's 5th birthday. I was a very young mom with a 5-year-old and a 12-month-old. We didn't have space that I was comfortable with having a birthday party, so I decided to have it at McDonald's, except I couldn't afford the party package. So I saved up enough to get the handful of kids' Happy Meals and brought a homemade cake to the play place. I went to the busy counter to order, and the cashier said it was paid for by that one lady. She thought we were all together, and I panicked, saying, I thought this was a mistake. This is a mistake. And she insisted that the woman specified that it was for me and that she was already gone. I never knew who it was that did it, but almost 31 years later, it still warms my heart and still brings tears to my eyes. Mm. 31 years afterwards.
I love that.
And you know what? 10 Happy Meals. It costs, but it's not the money, right?
Well, and you know, that's a huge deal for the mom.
Yes.
But my hunch is whoever gave it to her, it wasn't a huge sacrifice financially for her.
But
for the mom,
yes,
it was a huge gift.
Well, what I love is that they noticed. They noticed and thought, you know what, I'm going to do this for this mom.
You know, that's interesting because I think a component of kindness to me is being aware. You know, if you are like, if you feel like you haven't been in your kindness zone, maybe a place to start is to say, God, open my eyes to people that need kindness from me.
Yeah, show me.
Because I think sometimes we can get so up in our own business when we're busy whatever.
Yes, agree.
And I think it's not that people don't want to. It's that we don't see it sometimes.
Right.
And
that's
I
good.
Think
sometimes we're
a
just
great
busy.
Thing to do is to say, hey, open my eyes to the people around me. How can I serve someone?
Show me.
Yeah, show me.
Okay, here's another really good one. Going through cancer treatment, my friend would often pick me up and take me to my treatments. They were long appointments, so we would get lunch in the cafeteria, and it seemed more like a girl's day with an injection, LOL, than just sitting alone and going through the whole process alone.
Mm.
I will never forget it. I love that because what her friend really did was sacrifice her time.
100%.
And give companionship. Because sometimes the kindness doesn't really have much to do with money at all.
You know what's interesting? I think sometimes when people get money, maybe they fall into it, maybe they earn it after a while. I think sometimes we think that our problems can be solved with money.
No.
And that is such a good example that the kindness had nothing to do with any amount of money.
No,
was sitting with someone.
They were eating in the hospital cafeteria, Matt.
Listen, that's a sacrifice in and of itself. Let's be real. That food is bland.
I just think also when you exercise kindness towards someone who is in a medical or health challenge, you feel so cared for.
Totally.
You know, because when you face that, it's kind of scary.
Totally.
Like when you face.
I think when you go through medical things in particular, there's so much that's out of your control. There's so much there that you're just kind of waiting or you don't know what's going on. So I think there's so much out of your control that for someone to bop in and just meet a need for you or level some exercise of control of like, hey, you're going to eat this. Here's a meal for you. You need this. I think that's a huge gift for sure.
In
the middle of medical crisis.
Yep. And you feel very tender and vulnerable when you're going through it. So somehow the kindness feels like multiplied.
Extra.
It just feels like extra. It feels like, you've
been talking about the bag of snacks I brought, and it was like Airheads and Cheetos.
No,
it wasn't like gold.
You brought really, really, you brought really great almonds. You brought some wasabi, soy.
It wasn't a lot.
Yeah, but you brought good stuff too. Yeah, it just felt really kind.
Need my exclusive list of hospital waiting room snacks, DM me. I will tell you.
I will say also it felt really kind, everybody being in the waiting room.
That's it.
I shouldn't say everybody.
It was sitting.
Like, you know, 8 or 10 people, but didn't it go so fast?
Yeah, it's the sitting. I'm telling you, there is so much power in sitting. It's You know, there's a practice in Jewish culture. Are you familiar with this? It's called sitting Shiva. Are you familiar with sitting Shiva?
I don't think so.
I'm going to get this wrong. So if we have a Jewish listener, I apologize. But basically the way that I understand it is when someone passes away, their family will sit Shiva, which means they sit.
Well, Amish people
and they
do
sit
that.
Together.
Amish people do that too.
In silence.
Yeah. Amish people do that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Amish people also sit with the body.
Okay.
For a couple, a couple days. They're there at the house. And
I think that it's, for me, it's the sitting with people and it's, there's not an expectation that you're talking a lot. There's not an expectation that you're doing anything, but just being.
Listen, I want to tell you also kindness. For you know, when you talk about kindness, if someone buys you something, so kind. But when someone sacrifices, serves, and uses their time. Mm-hmm. To show you kindness, there is something very impactful about that.
100%.
You know, we got beautiful things in the mail that were just so special, that I felt so cared for. Oh my goodness, I got this one package from Trisha Piecraft here in Worcester. Her and Chris sent me this comfort box that had soup and homemade mac and cheese and a soup ladle and a cozy blanket. I felt so, it just felt so intentional and so... It was just the right thing, right, to send someone. But then there are acts of kindness that have nothing to do with sending you something or buying you something that also are huge.
Well, I mean, you had Roxy and Berta cleaning your house while you were in the hospital.
It was just...
Like, that kind of stuff matters.
It matters.
That matters, you know.
Okay, here's one. On kindness, literally this past weekend, my family is going through a very difficult time. One child is having major mental health issues, and we are starting an outpatient program in a few weeks. On top of it, another child is graduating from college and navigating a divorce. I am just getting through with doing the bare minimum. My oldest and his girlfriend came home for the weekend to do laundry, and while I was running errands, they deep cleaned all of the bathrooms and the kitchen because they knew I needed help. Literally, it is the nicest thing anyone has done for me in years. Mm. And again, it's an act of service.
Sure.
It is a sacrifice and an act of service. It's seeing a need and meeting that need. And what I love about this story is it was her son and his girlfriend.
I love that.
I mean, that is so precious that your child would see that and just jump right in and do that kindness to you.
Yeah,
it feels like
totally.
It feels like an extra blessing when it's your kid, because you're like, oh, I did something right. I raised that boy right.
You know, for me, I'm thinking about other ways that I felt loved by kindness. And I think I've said this before, I am a words person. You know, if you look at the traditional five love language, it's acts of service, gifts,
words of affirmation,
quality time, words of affirmation, and something
else. Acts of service.
My huge dial is words.
Mine's acts of service.
Well, that's why you married Daryl.
It's so true.
Mine is words. And I am not kidding you when I tell you this. A couple weeks ago, there was an incident at school that's irrelevant to the story, but I helped a teacher out with a student issue, and she was so gracious, and she was so thankful and so kind.
Teachers are awesome.
But then a couple days later, her mentor, it was a younger teacher that I helped. Her mentor came, and she pulled me aside, and she said, hey, I want to let you know, I heard from her how you supported her and what you said to the student in front of her and how you handled that situation. And that was awesome. And it mattered. And thank you for doing that. And I started crying. I just my eyes filled with tears, and they just started like going down my face. And I was like, I'm sorry I'm crying. But like, people, that just matters. Saying thank you or acknowledging it. And I think the sacrifice that comes with that, the sacrifice that comes with words of affirmation at times, is a level of vulnerability and putting yourself out there.
1,000%.
Because that's the sacrifice that is made in that moment.
Yes.
Especially like in a professional environment, or maybe someone you don't know super well that you're getting to know. You know, that's a sacrifice too, to say, you know, like to see it and then think it and craft what you want to say and to actually do it. Mm-hmm. And you know, well, it just means
well,
so much.
Well, it was one thing for you to handle it correctly. It was another thing for the mentor to come and follow up
100%
and basically say, I see what you did and I just want to thank you for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like going, I think here's my parting shot.
Ooh, okay.
I think when it comes to kindness, especially with words of affirmation or even acts of service, really, whether it's you do something for someone to be kind or you say something, often we're prompted like, you know what I should do? I should take some chicken noodle soup. Over. And then we don't listen.
Yep. That's right.
We go, no, we don't really need to. We are renting the little castle to two pipe fitters. Mm-hmm. And they're away from home. They're 27 and 32. And I have been, every now and then, I've been texting them and saying, guys, this is what I've got for supper. If you swing by after work, I'll have it to go ready for you. And a little bit of dessert too. And so the other day I left supper at the little castle for them and some cookies. And I got a text the next day. It said, I got home from work so late. It was too late to text you, but I ate every bit of that food. Aww. And it was just so good. Do you mind giving me the recipe for that one?
You know, you keep advertising like this, you're going to keep your rentals full.
But one, it's a sacrifice to do that for me. But also, you know, I think I heard the nudge and I was like, oh, that feels weird. Like, that feels weird. These guys are going to be like, who is this little lady wanting to give me her food? What's she doing? I listened to the nudge. So my parting shot is, if something has been nudging you to either say or do for someone that is an act of kindness, you are never going to regret doing it.
100%.
It could feel vulnerable. It could feel clunky. It could feel awkward maybe. Mm-hmm. But once you do it, there is a feeling that comes over your heart like nothing else can. So that's my parting shot, Matt.
Oh, I love it. Let's talk about food. Okay. I have something I want to talk about.
All right. Let's see. Let's hear it.
I want to talk about Mud Valley Beverages. Have you heard the news?
No, I don't even know what you're talking about. What do you mean?
What? Matt Keeler, if you are listening, listen. Walnut Creek Cheese has started a new beverage line called Mud Valley.
No.
And they have their, I'm going to call it this, I might be corrected, their like signature drink. Because this is like bottled drinks. Their signature drink is ditch tea. It's like a mint tea. So if you're unfamiliar with this,
it's like
ditch
garden,
tea
garden
is a big
tea.
Thing around here because mint grows in the ditches.
Apparently, are they calling it ditch tea?
They're not. No,
no, no. No. I've never
they're
heard that
garden,
term.
You've never heard ditch tea?
Never. I've heard garden tea.
I've heard
or
ditch
mint,
tea.
Mint tea. I've never heard ditch tea.
What? How am I more Amish than you?
No, your grandma Hilda came up with that one.
No, she did not. Don't you dare. How actually dare you?
Okay,
wow.
Mint tea. Green mint tea. I've heard of that. Or garden tea garden or tea. Spring tea. Spring mint tea.
Or ditch tea.
Ditch tea.
And I think we need to try their drinks, Matt Keeler.
Okay,
Matt
yes.
Keeler, show up,
How
Matt
many
Keeler.
Different kinds Roll of up. Drinks? Where are
Don't
these
know
drinks? Are they in the...
Don't know yet.
Are they
Don't
in the refrigerated
it's
section?
It's hot off the presses.
Oh my gosh.
It is literally hot off
wait.
The presses.
I cannot wait to check this out.
I can't wait to try them. What have you been eating from Walnut Creek?
Well, let me just... Oh. Yeah, okay.
Tell
Along
me
with what,
you,
you're
what you've been eating.
Mud Valley is their creamery. So when you said Mud Valley drinks, I thought, oh, he's just going to tell us about the peanut butter shakes.
Nope.
Or he's just going to tell us about some kind of flurry drink or whatever. You're talking about in a bottle.
Like
in
a,
I
in
can't
a glass
wait. I can't
bottle.
Wait. I cannot wait for this. So Mud Valley Creamery, we're embarking on spring and summer. And when you go to Walnut Creek Cheese, they have soft serve, like the flavors of the day that they make there that are delicious. But then they also have the, you know, the dip ice cream.
Yeah, the hard
the
pack.
The hard dip ice cream. And their peanut butter, their chocolate peanut butter.
Fabulous. I love it.
And listen, you might just want to get a kid's size. Because if you go order in a two scoop, you're going to be shocked. It's like more than a pint of ice cream on a cone. It's like... Mm.
I think you're a baby. I challenge you to two scoops.
You can do. Oh, I couldn't do it. I would have a bellyache.
Don't act like that. You can eat two scoops.
No.
I saw you eat that big granola bar tonight, and as soon as the microphones turn on, you're like, oh, I could never. I don't want to hear that garbage from you.
Listen, you know and I know, when's the last time you got two scoops at Walnut Creek Cheese?
That's none of your business.
It's so much ice cream.
It is. But you know what? You can do it. You have a big mouth.
I don't know. Maybe we should go down there one of these days and get two scoops. You get two, I get two, and we try it. But I'm probably not going to be able to finish it.
We need to film it. We need to do the two scoop challenge.
Yes.
At Walnut Creek Cheese.
Two scoop challenge. We are so thankful for Walnut Creek Foods and Walnut Creek Cheese and Market for being our official sponsor. We love them. We have loved them. We loved them before. And we love them now. Oh. We love them before they even became an official sponsor of this podcast. They are a wonderful place with wonderful people and wonderful product.
Well, thank you for joining us on this episode on kindness. You know, my hope is that you start feeling those nudges and doing something about it. Just say yes to the nudge.
Yes, say yes to the nudge. Say yes to kindness.
Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these
are good days. This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.